Are you tired of living in fear of the law, of the land, or of the judgment of God? You think you're going to get caught. You hate the laws. You hate the cops. They need to stay out of my personal business. You think God won't judge me. I don't hurt anybody. Do you want to learn how to live a life free from this fear and anxiety and be ready to meet the supreme lawgiver and judge? In this video, we'll show you how to do just that. We'll cover four key points that will help you live a life free from this fear and anxiety. First, we'll talk about how to love your neighbor. Second, we'll discuss how to love God. Third, we'll explore how to forsake sin. And finally, we'll show you how to walk with God every second of every day. If you walk with God, you won't have to fear his law and judgment either. So by the end of this video, you'll have the tools you need to live a life free from the fear and anxiety of getting caught and ending up paying for your crime, either here or in the next life. So what are you waiting for? I want you to watch this whole video starting now.
God's Resistance.
Thank you for tuning into God's Resistance, looking into this video here. We are going to be continuing our study in the book of Romans. We are in Romans chapter 13. We're going to be going verses 8 through, I believe it's 14, the end of the chapter anyways. And we are talking about how love fulfills God's law. So we're going to just move right on over there. Verse 8 of chapter 13 of Romans says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." So owe no man anything but to love one another. First of all, I'd like to say there's a lot of people that say this verse means when you say owe no man anything, that this is talking about not getting into debt. The Bible has other places, Proverbs and other things, that would help us to understand that debt is not a good thing. We're a slave and we're a servant to the person whom we're indebted to, all that. This scripture, however, is not saying that. This is saying, owe no man anything but to love one another. And if we were to go back in the context just previously in this chapter, excuse me, he's talking about tributes, taxes, customs that are paid to the civil government to enforce the laws and all the positions and things that are involved in civil government. He's saying, don't owe anyone anything. The only thing that we should be indebted to another person is love, more love. We want to love them the way God loves them. We want to love them the way Christ loves them. We want to show them love. So he's saying, don't owe anyone anything but love. So that's first that we would establish here. And why is that? He says, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And now this is no new thing, because Jesus had said that the law and the prophets hang on these two points. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. He's saying all the law can be summed up in those two things. So when we go here, he's speaking about loving your neighbor. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. So if I truly love my neighbor, I'm going to do, in essence, what the law was pointing out. Now, if I just follow a list of rules, I may not be breaking the law outwardly, but am I fulfilling the law and the law's intent? We're told other places in the scripture that the law came for the knowledge of sin, to show us sin inside of our hearts, inside of our actions, all those things to make sin exceedingly sinful, and ultimately to lead us to Christ for repentance and faith in a changed life. So the law in and of itself has no life-giving power. But he's saying, if you want to fulfill the law, then love fulfills the law. And how do we get that love? Well, we know that the love of God is shed abroad in the heart, but through the Holy Ghost, as the scriptures say. But he gives some very practical things here. If we move on to the verse 9 here, he says, "For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So in other words, what's being said here is, if I truly love someone, if I truly love my neighbor, and neighbor doesn't simply just mean, you know, the people that live on both sides of my house. Neighbor means anybody, part of the human race. If I truly love other people, anybody, and that's not just the people that I get along with, but even people that are difficult to get along with. Yea, even our enemies, as the scripture speaks. If I show love to them, if I really do love them in the seed of my heart, he said, you won't do these wicked things. You won't do what's in this list here. Thou shalt not commit adultery. If I love my neighbor, first of all, I'm not going to be looking at his wife in that way, right? Secondly, if I'm not looking at him, I'm certainly not going to go and betray trust with this person and take another man's wife just because I have lust inside of my heart and want to fulfill and desire. He said, love won't allow you to do that. I'm not going to commit adultery. I'm not going to do that to someone else, but I'm not going to do it if I'm married. I'm not going to betray the trust that I have with my own wife and say, she's not enough. She's not what God has given me. So I need to go find it somewhere else. And I'm going to do it sneaky. You know, I don't want to get caught. Why? We don't want to get caught because we know that what we're doing is wrong. But he said, if you love your neighbor, you won't do this. It's just not going to happen. And then verse nine, but thou shalt not kill. If I love somebody, how am I going to murder them? Right? Now, there may be times where I strongly disagree with people on certain things, and there's nothing necessarily wrong with strongly disagreeing on something with someone. But when it gets to the place of hatred, Jesus said, you have committed murder already inside of your heart. And so certainly if I love somebody, thou shalt not kill is not going to happen. I'm not going to murder them. He says, thou shalt not steal. I'm not going to take something that is rightfully someone else's, something they worked for, something that they got out of hard work and all that and sacrifice. I'm not going to take it for myself the cheap and lazy and easy way by snatching it because I don't have to work for it. I can simply just take it from somebody else. I'm not going to do that if I love my neighbor. He says you won't bear false witness here as well. Now, false witness, that means lying. But it's lying about somebody's character, about what they've done or haven't done. If I love somebody, I'm not going to slander them. I'm not going to make up stories about them. I'm not going to lie on them to try and trash their lives, ruin them, to get a promotion at a job because I want it more than I want them to have it. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to do that because I love them. That's what this verse is saying. And then thou shalt not covet. Obviously, that kind of goes behind the adultery. That goes behind sometimes the killing and the stealing and the lying. It's because we're jealous, because we want something the other person has and we're not willing to do the work ourselves to get it. So we want to take it from them. We feel like we deserve it and they don't. But then he says, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying. So he listed some very specific commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. Those are very specific commandments. But then he says, if there's any other commandment, he said, it's all summed up right here. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, would I want someone to do this to me if the roles were reversed? No. It's funny that somebody who could steal from somebody else gets upset when someone steals from them, right? The reason that they're upset about it is because it's their possession and it's wrong. However, they would justify them doing it to someone else, right? But he's saying, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't do this. If I treat someone else how I'd like to be treated, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to show them the love that I have even just for my own self-preservation. And so love, in verse 10, works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, I had mentioned in the beginning here, we would talk about loving your neighbor, loving God, forsaking your sin, walking with God every day. I just want to say here, this also sums up the love towards God. Because if we want to love our neighbor, how are we going to do that right? In this day and age, people would say, well, I identify as a lady and I'm a man. I'm in a homosexual lifestyle. And there could be various other wrong things that go on. What we're told today is that love means never offending somebody. Now, we're not trying to be offensive, but sometimes we could say things that people would take offense at, right? If I truly love somebody and I believe that what they're doing is damaging to them, I'm not going to stand back and say, oh, I don't want to have a tough conversation with you. I don't want to make you feel bad, so I'm not going to say anything. No, if we love them, all the more we're like, hey, don't do this, man. I don't want you to be ruined, right? And so we need to also love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength so that we know how to love our neighbor, so that we know even what love is, because otherwise love is subjective. 20, 30 years ago, homosexuality and that kind of stuff wasn't looked at in the same light that it is right now. People generally understood that this was kind of deviant. This is not normal. This isn't natural, right? But now it's supposed to be that it is. And the reason I'm bringing that up is it's subjective. It's changed over time. But let me ask you this one thing. Has truth changed? Is morality something that just shifts based on how we feel? No, it's not. So that's why we look to the Bible and we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength because he tells us what it looks like to love. Then we can properly do that to our neighbor. So we need to soak ourselves in God's word. We need ourselves to come face to face with God and our own sins, to be changed and transformed, repenting of our sins, believing on Jesus Christ. He'll raise us up from a spiritual death, give us new life. He'll plant that love of God within us. We'll read his word and understand who he is and who he's revealed himself to be, and we'll move on. We'll love. Love works no ill to his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And then verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now is it high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Couple things here. First of all, he's saying the day of Jesus' return is even closer than it was yesterday. And that's always true, right? He's saying, now that you have this light, you've gone too far to turn backwards. You can't now go back in this light and expect to have any blessing or favor or anything. You know too much now. You cannot turn back. And he says, don't be asleep like you once were. You're now wide awake. And because you're wide awake, you need to stay awake. Awake out of your sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when you first believed. The night is far spent, and the night is our previous life. Our life of darkness and wickedness, that night is far spent. It's behind us. And now the day is at hand, the light of truth and righteousness and holiness. And so he says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And the armor of light then is all of the truth of God. That's going to protect our mind, our heart and affections, our soul. We're going to put on the armor of light. We're not going to allow this to get back into our lives. So then he says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envying. So letting us walk honestly as in the day. When we think about people that do crime, oftentimes, especially if it's breaking and entering, they're trying to rob someplace or whatever. Oftentimes you find those things at night. Why? Because they don't want to get caught. Because they're not doing things honestly, so they want to do it in the dark so as to not get caught. And we're told here, if we're Christians, let us walk honestly, as in the day. We shouldn't be doing things that we have to hide and sneak around to do. All of our deeds should be able to be laid out in the open and under the scrutiny of Almighty God and not be found wanting, not be found that, oh, that was actually terrible, and that's not what God wants. We shouldn't be sneaking around. Our life is an open book before our Maker. And if anyone was to scrutinize our life, they should not find anything that goes against the Bible, sinning in our lives like that, right? That's how he's saying, walk honestly, like you're walking in the daytime. Don't try and hide things. And he says, not in rioting and drunkenness. Now, in that life in Roman rule, in the Roman Empire, there would have been, you know, drunken parties and things like that. And just it's still the same thing today. I used to live for drinking, drugs, party. I used to love that. Right. And he said, don't do that anymore. Now that you've stepped in the light, you're not going back there, not in rioting and drunkenness. So big parties or even just being drunk by yourself somewhere. He says, not in chambering and wantonness. Now, this word chambering can mean in a lustful kind of a manner, but it also talks about shacking up with somebody, living with a partner as if you were married, having sexual relations with them, but you're not really married. Now, this was normal, perhaps in Roman Empire and in the Greco-Roman world, and it seems to be normal in our day right now, too. But he says, now that you're in the light, you don't do that anymore. You don't go in chambering and wantonness, lusting after other people, and then not in strife and in envying. We're not trying to war with one another anymore, one up one another, right? Looking at someone else's success and being angry about it so that we actually want to harm these people and then us gain whatever they are that has gained it. We don't want that to happen inside the church, inside the body of Jesus Christ either. He says, not in strife and envying. Okay, so that is the forsaking sin part. We love our neighbor with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Excuse me, we love our neighbor as ourselves. We love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We forsake sin as we've just gone through. And then lastly here in this last verse, we walk with God every moment of every day. And how do we do that? Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I'm going to put on Jesus Christ like a set of new clothes. My old life is like old, dingy, ruined clothes. I'm taking those off. Those are going in the trash. And now I've received new clothes. That is the life of Jesus Christ. I'm going to put him on as if it were a new set of clothes and a new life in general. I'm going to put him on and I'm going to make no provision for the flesh. I'm not going to make provision for sin, trying to leave little open doors so that I can go back into a wicked life. He said, make no provision for the flesh and the lust thereof. We are done with that life. And praise God, that is the truth. That is what we can expect now being a Christian. So dear listener, as we've gone through this, you don't have to fear being thrown in jail or standing before the judge of all the earth if you simply love with all your heart. Make sure to subscribe, like, follow, turn on the notification bell so that you can be aware of all the content that comes out. Follow us on all our social media and visit godsresistance.com. We are thankful for you.